I must say that this practice is a quite an interesting thing. Even might, no, it's a bit mysterious, kind of a strange. After all, we come here and we sit silently facing the wall. Grown-up people wearing robes, a lot of bowings, chanting. And then, bowing some more. Session is, we know how it works. It goes, it's a kind of a roller coaster, how you say. One day, one moment you are seeing far and clearly, and next time you are in a tunnel, being afraid that your hat will fall off. And then again, whew, we come up. This really makes things more senses more sensitive. Mind is more active in a way, or more alert. Memories comes and goes. And we have this structure which kind of keeps us just doing it. It's a kind of a slippery slope in many places still. We really have to come back again and again. And in the midst of this all, there is some little sprout coming out. Some little green. Some spring. Very little, perhaps, but there it is. In the midst of this all, in the midst of this all Zen practice, we call it Zen practice, there is this fresh, just newly born little sprout of spring. And that little sprout does not know what is Zen or what is not Zen. It is truly like this newborn baby in the koan we read yesterday. And I hope and I believe we learn also some kind of, I mean, this practice is completely useless if we not also learn some kindness towards what we are and what so-called others are. During the break I was thinking, sometimes you get that view that you kind of imagine yourself, what if I would have not started this practice ever? How would my life then be? It's this ridiculous speculative thing to think of even, but sometimes you kind of, you kind of imagine, okay, I would still being doing maybe this, maybe that. But very soon, I end up to think that it would be total mess in my case. Maybe I'm right, or maybe wrong. Who knows? No one will get to know this, and never. But and why I say this is that this practice really takes us to face also behind the scene in many ways. So it's really, we are here chasing after some liberation, but the liberation doesn't come if we don't also meet those things that has caused our situation, our condition, our need to find out who and what we truly are, what is liberation. I think thousands of people in different spiritual practices have tried that, to jump directly across the muddy river, not wanting to swim there. And temporarily it might work. You kind of get our foot another shore, but then this rubber band pulls us back. So the beauty of this practice is also the difficult one. It's also the difficult part. I think someone has said that it's not difficult to realize or even to become enlightened, something like that. But it's very hard to maintain it. And this, that's the practice, of course. To get the glimpse is one thing, and to really work through all those hindrances, bushes, undergrowth, is what is this Sheshin day after day, sitting facing the wall. Okay, Song of Sazen Vasan, where the Zen Master Hakuin is praising this practice clearly. And in this very short length of words, he really has managed to collect all the bits and pieces that is this practice is. We find kind of he's hinting for the whole teaching of Buddhism there in different ways. With a reverential heart, if we listen to this truth even once, and praise it, and gladly embrace it, we will surely be blessed most infinitely. But if we concentrate within and testify to the truth that self-nature is no nature, we have really gone beyond foolish talk. The gate of the oneness of cause and effect is opened. The path of non-duality and non-trinity run straight ahead. The gate of oneness of cause and effect is opened. So yesterday I said something about to study Buddhism, to study those philosophies and teachings, how mind works. And I think I will continue with that. A monk asks Josu, does a newborn baby possess the six senses or not? Josu said, no. The monk later asks Tosu, what is the meaning of ball bobbing along swift flowing water? Tosu said, moo. This moo is answer for all those questions. It is really the one and only. That if we manage to throw everything else, put aside everything else and just breathe the mu, being the mu, feeling the mu, that will show us what's going on behind the scene. But as it is, we have to come back. We're probably not yet ready to stay there. Maybe never, and that's fine. And then when we are not there, we can study some Buddhism. So yesterday was this the Wheel of Life, and we had at 12 o'clock, we had this old age and death. But there can't be any old age and death if there is not the birth. We need birth. And at 11 o'clock, we have birth. Birth is happening, as we say, all the time, together with dying. Things comes together, emerging together. All this that is happening in this room is conditions and causes coming together. It's getting a new life all the time. But what is the cause of this birth? And at 10 o'clock, there is something that is called becoming. And becoming is really when these things come together. And it's pictures. The previous picture was a woman giving birth. And in this case, we have this couple doing something that is not for children's eye. Sexual intercourse that will cause a new life. It's of course so metaphorically those pictures, but they kind of give a image what it is. But there would not be this becoming without grasping, which is at 9 o'clock. there is a man picking a fruit from a tree. So this grasping. Grasping that leaves traces, maybe we could say so. Grasping is something that will leave traces. And we return to those things that we find pleasure with. And we try avoid those things that we really don't like. Quite simple. This is, of course, not a very complicated thing. We do it all the time. Day in, day out, we are grasping things. Or we might be more aware of it. Little by little, we recognize our blind passions or aversion. But if we don't, it always leads to the next birth, next coming, next birth, next dying. And this grasping is kind of overlapping. There is a first at 8 o'clock, there is craving, hunger, thirst. Drinker. A drinker having a drink is the picture there. And craving is because of sensation. At 7 o'clock we have a sensation. And the picture is quite strong. There is an arrow to the eye. So things are really hitting different sensations. Before that was contact. We have this object around us, we have sense organs, we have our inner, it's called faculties, sense faculties, kind of a qualities, I think it's kind of narrowed down into some context, some powers, some and this contact is just a pair of lovers and so on. Now it's now at six is contact, but this all comes from the picture one at 1 o'clock, around 1 o'clock. It's ignorance. We have heard these words probably sometime, few times. Ignorance and craving and birth and contact and six sense faculties. And if we haven't really studied them, I haven't that much. You probably see it, but a little bit. And I think it is a good, if you have time sometimes to kind of meditate with those 12 links, kind of feeling them in one's life, how this is functioning, how this really happens again and again. This ignorance is, of course, a key word in our practice. And it's pictured, there's a blind person walking with a stick. That's what we are in the sense of Buddha Dharma. We are practicing, hopefully, our blind eyes little by little opening up. Ignorance. So we take things as something permanent, having a separate self, solid, with That's what we think. Automatically. 99.9% of probably human population believes so. All these particles that has made us, we kind of think that they are, that's fixed. That fire, earth, air, wind somehow are put together and they will stay like that. But then life one day will take us and show us that, wait a minute. Could you please sit down? Take a breath. Count one. Inhale. Exhale. Count two. Start to investigate what's going on within this bag of bones. These random feelings and running thoughts. Is there anything there? Is there anything permanent? Is there something that we really can say that this is it? This is it. This is who I am. It's a wonderful opportunity. Maybe painful, but wonderful. And more we see into this mysterious mystery, there is more we can then deliver for everyone. Not just for oneself, but for birds, for trees, for grasses, for sentient beings. But ignorance is what it is, and here we are trying to see through it, hoping that one day ignorance is really wisdom. Wisdom that we have inherited already since time immemorial. Wisdom that is shared with everyone. Wisdom that we don't need to read or study. It's already here. It's hard to trust for something that is so obvious and open, plain, hiding in plain sight, or plain. It's hard to trust that that's it. We need something more. We need something more entertaining. We think there is something more. But it's just a moment when we start to think, when we start to analyze, when we start to having doubts, it's gone. Immediately gone. No traces left. It's just gone. And then we think that we are so far. We are so far from it. Are we far from this? No. Not at all. Not at all. Not even a split of millimeter. It's nothing. It's exactly. Exactly like this. Okay, those 12 links, I actually think I will not to go through them. I start to sleep if I read more of those sentences. But that doesn't mean that they are not interesting, seriously, but you can read, you can study those things again and again. I was thinking those little bodhisattvas we have here in this temple. Ojiso-sama. In Dokusan room we have Shakyamuni Trinity. On the right we have Monju Bosatsu, and left Fugen Bosatsu or Samantabhadra. And of course Avalokiteshvara or Kannon-sama we have in the dining room. So what are those images, statues? I'll try, if that's the correct way to say, I'll try to kind of see them as a learning devices. Something that I can practice with. They're not just decoration. They're kind of a form of, we do chanting. It's a kind of another kind of chanting or practice. When we walk, when we have a formal meal, we walk from the center directly to the dining room, and since this Jiso Bodhisattva is there at the moment standing when we walk, have you felt, because you are having your hands in Gassho, and Jiso also having hands in Gassho, there's some beautiful moment. You and Jiso comes together and having hands in Gassho, and you are Jiso Bodhisattva at that moment. You are the one who can save people who are in a big, big trouble. You can be a company for someone who is traveling this path. You can support other travelers along the path. Also, you can see, you can reflect that image, that statue, and it reminds where you are, who you are in your practice. Is my heart very much closed, or is there some little ray of sunlight shining? So it kind of reminds where I am. Again, all those little or bigger ones on the altar. In Dokusan room, we can see how Fugen is a wisdom, compassion, action, skillful action, kind of an action of enlightenment. How does that is seen in your case? Where is mine in the enlightened action at right now? What is enlightened action? What do you think? At least it's not grasping and craving. And so those are reminders. We have Monju Bosatsu carrying and holding the sword of Prasna wisdom, cutting two into one. Holding a scroll of Dharma words. Where is your sword of wisdom that can bring life? Those little things can remind us for those qualities or those, where are they? Where is my compassion? What is it? What is it anyway? How this practice of just sitting has to do with compassion? There's important questions. Where are we going? What is the purpose of life? All these masters, so far what I have understood, are always pointing to something that is here and now. They never are pointing to something that is in the future. Or was yesterday, but not anymore. They are always pointing to your heart, to mine, my heart. They're always pointing to your core, to your very essence. That's interesting. They are always poking to your ribs and asking, do you see? Do you feel it? It's you, after all. Where are you going? What are you looking for? Do you feel moo when you do it? It's nowhere else. It's just there where it is. Moo. Just here. It's not any kind of religion or philosophy or theory or someone else's move. It's a very unique, once in a lifetime move. So everything is pointing, everything is supporting us, everything is directing us to see this, to be this. The Sazen is very powerful. Every day we have done this, it becomes more solid, sitting, deeper concentration. It's more easy to just be. It's more easy just to feel what's now. Of course, all sensations are not always pleasant. There are, of course, moments when we want to look to another direction. But day after day, we kind of get used to this, also for those uncomfortable moments. And we try not to identify with them. It's kind of funny to think that this body, it's a kind of a tube. I have a hole here in my mouth and other hole there. My buttocks. What else? It's almost like my shakuhachi flute. It has few holes and nothing inside. And life is just blowing through it. Toot, toot. Moo, moo. So if you see that it's just this tube made of bones and meat, hollow. So who are you? Where are you there? Cuckoo. And then we have these thoughts, these random words. I don't think, as you know, I don't think what I'm going to say next. These words are just coming from somewhere. I have no idea where, except this hole. So who are you sitting here? If you can become a question mark, whether it is a shikantaza or any other practices, if you can become a question mark yourself, if your hollow tube can be a question mark, be it completely. Be the question, who or mu or what, and see. Where is it? Where is the question? Where is the outline of the question? Can you hear the question? Where it's coming, this question? Where is it located? How does it feel in your body? Is it separate from your body? And you start to feel this strong, heavy energy in your system. It's so close. Trust for that. Trust for the life. Trust for the life. It's funny, but you are it. You are 100% of it. Okay. May all beings attain the Buddha way.